Miami Memoirs presents real case histories and true stories related to the law practice and experiences of Florida attorney Lewis M. Ress. Miami Memoirs uncorks a caseload of true, weird, wonderful, and wild stories from an always eventful 6 decades of life in the law. From multimillion-dollar land deals to the ghostly aftermath of an Everglades plane disaster via a prematurely deep-frozen cat, these tales feature a parade of unforgettable characters, all sharply observed by a storyteller with a very human empathy for ordinary and extraordinary individuals caught up in the law.
Lewis has just released a new book, Miami Memoirs, including The Maharani's Ring. Fans of strange cases and wild tales will need no introduction to the author's brilliant and fast-paced storytelling, laced with salty evocations of the human carnival of the era and shot through with compassionate insight. From advising the heir to Colonel Sanders and falling out with Buddy Hackett to nighttime jogging with Vitas Gerulaitis, the stories keep on coming. Larry the charismatic Wheeler dealer needs to be rescued from yet another risky deal, and a bridge-playing mobster needs help to find his missing daughter. All this and more, along with sage advice against buying a lottery ticket, you might win. Welcome to round two. And now, let's begin.
Hi everyone. Welcome to Miami Memoirs, Strange Cases and Wild Tales with Lewis Ress. I'm Jeanette Garcia, your host, and today we're going to be doing episode 56, Esther Krasny. So, Lewis, who is Esther Krasny?
Okay, remember that song, Who is Sylvia? What is she? Who is little Esther Krasny?
Yeah.
Little Esther Krasny is the mother of my oldest friends in Miami, Alvin and Buddy Krasny. And they're our friends going back to 1956. They were the first people we met in Miami in Florida. And their life now is a tragedy.
Oh.
And I'll tell you about it if you ask me at the
what's the
at
story
the end, it's going to be a very short story. They asked me about the Krasny family, and I'll tell you, because as of last night, we were involved with Buddy Krasny.
Oh,
and,
okay.
And I'll tell you about what's going on.
All right. Well, what's this story about?
This story is about the brilliance that elderly people evidently flash. And it's so easy to write elderly people off and so simple to ignore or disrespect their thoughts. And sometimes they come up with some bright things that are really surprising. This is one of them. Esther Krasny gave her speech concerning the United States Constitution at a Saturday evening dinner celebrating her 90th birthday many, many, many years ago. She's long gone. It was a weekend event at the Rooney Plaza Hotel. That's how old it was, on South Beach. And the Rooney Plaza was the oldest hotel, one of the oldest hotels on South Beach. They used to have a diving contest in the pool. And Barney Cipriani would dive from a high platform. That was big entertainment in those days. And he would do the swan dive into the swimming pool from maybe six stories up.
Wow.
And people would come and sit around the pool and watch the show, and they would sing. Those were the days they had they used to put a gondola in the pool and paddle it around.
Wow. Oh, so, yeah, it sounds pretty wild, huh?
It was, this was a Friday night before her speech on Saturday. Her daughters-in-law, Helen Krasny and Honey Krasny, had taken her, had hosted a wild all-female party at the Crazy Horse Lounge, which was a male strip bar.
Oh, boy. Yeah. That must have been quite a night, huh?
It was wild. It was wild. The male models were like shiny Greek statues. They were all oiled their bodies, you know? And they were completely naked.
Glistening.
And they humped and they bumped, all in the nude. And the women were screaming, and they handed them dollar bills, you know? And they would have a string around their stomach, and they put the dollar bills in the string. And that little 90-year-old, 5-foot, gray-haired widow, Esther Krasny, gave her birthday speech at the Saturday night formal dinner the next night.
And what did Esther have to say at age 90?
Ah, she said, "Thank you, everybody. Thank you for coming to my birthday party. Can you hear me? Yes, she was tapping the microphone. I want you all to know that I just invested my life savings in government bonds that don't come due for 10 years. And, well, everybody laughed. That was a great joke. And when the laughter died down, she's continuing. She said, at age 90, I just became terribly disillusioned. Up till last night, I firmly believed that the United States Constitution was right, and I believed in the United States Constitution, namely, that all men are created equal. But after last night at the Crazy Horse Lounge with the men dancing naked, I realized that it was a big lie.
And what was the reaction to that joke?
People were rolling on the floor. They were hysterical.
And how did you react to that, listening to her say that?
Well, I know a little bit about American government, you know, as an attorney and having studied government at Cornell. Actually, she wasn't talking about the Constitution. Esther Krasny was talking about the Declaration of Independence, which proclaims that all men are created equal. Jefferson borrowed that concept of natural equality and the freedom of man from the English philosopher John Locke, who directed his comments on the second tract on government. He wrote two tracts on government in 1660. And in the second tract, he addressed that he made the statement that all men should be created equal. I'm sure John Locke wasn't the first one to conclude that we should all be equal in the eyes of the law. Actually, that's what it was, that we should all be equal in the eyes of the law. Although it had been proposed that the United States president is an exception to that rule. He's not subject to the law.
Right.
And of course, that's fallacious too.
Yeah. And was Esther correct on that?
Of course Esther was correct. Esther Krasny was correct in a lot of things. When she concluded that all men are not created equal, she was correct. It appears to me that the Declaration of Independence means to say that all men were created with all equal rights, not equally. It would have been even better to have said that all human beings are thus created, not just males. Although the Constitution only gave land-owning males the right to vote. So you see, Esther was right. In fact, I couldn't find the word woman in the Constitution.
Right, yeah. No surprise there.
I think it comes in the amendment that gave women the suffrage, the right. I think it's the 21st Amendment that gave women the right to vote.
And so you mentioned earlier that, you know, this doesn't apply, you know, there's some exceptions here. Is the president above the law?
Well, there is a philosophy or a belief going back to the Nixon administration when he was told what he wanted to hear, that he was above the law. And it was a memo from someone in the Department of Justice, an attorney. And they used that memo to cite that rule. It says that the president is not responsible for civil lawsuits while he's president. He can't be sued by a taxpayer, let's say.
Right.
But he is responsible for criminal violations. So that's, I think, the distinction. And thankfully, the Constitution was amended to look after women a little bit. I could not find any provision in the Constitution itself to support the concept that anyone is above the law.
So there's a lot here to discuss from this very short story, though there are probably about five books that could have been written, right? We got the legal effect of the Declaration of Independence, the concept of people being born free and equal in the eyes of the law, you know, the concept of separation of church and state, the ongoing inequalities of man, world poverty, class pressure, privilege. And then we have, you know, is the U.S. president immune from prosecution?
Right. I could say that you have the basis for about a 50-volume work right there. You could give a course in college or law school on each of those subjects. That would be a separate year's study. Mm-hmm. So we can take them a little bit. Take the rights of man.
Mm-hmm.
I talked about philosophy, and the first course that I would suggest that people, historians don't need it, they already know, but mm-hmm. students of constitutional law and some of our justices in the Supreme Court might want to take a look at something beyond their concept of what the law was years and years, hundreds of years ago, and that women weren't mentioned, and that women didn't have rights, and that women weren't entitled mm-hmm. to control of their bodies. That stuff is really not
outdated.
Logical and not intellectually correct. Mm-hmm. You look back at what did, if you really want to be an institutionalist and creativist with the Constitution, you got to look not just at the papers that were going around,
like the Federalist Papers.
Yeah, you got to go. They think that's a big deal, and
yeah.
It is. You should read those. But beyond that, you got to look back at to what motivated. Where did the thinking of the founders come from? Jefferson in particular,
mm-hmm.
and Madison.
Mm-hmm.
They use Madison. The Federalist Society is a picture of Madison. They think he was great. But if you look back, Madison was really a follower of Jefferson.
Mm-hmm.
He was an acolyte, a student mm-hmm. of Jefferson's, and Jefferson was the leading intellectual light. And in fact, Madison had a plantation not too far from Jefferson's.
Hmm.
I've been to both of them,
hmm.
and he really would follow Jefferson's thinking. So where did Jefferson? What was Jefferson thinking? Well, if you go back and you read John Locke, nobody knows about John Locke. He wrote the two treatises of government. Actually, were written in 1689, not 1660. I think the second one was written over 20 years later. And they define the natural rights of man. Mm-hmm. He said, all men are created equal in the state of a nature by God.
Mm-hmm.
Those were his words. Well, they didn't put that into the Constitution
mm-hmm.
or the Declaration of Independence. And as a matter of fact, the Declaration of Independence has the pursuit of happiness, happiness is another concept, the pursuit of happiness.
Yeah.
That is could take a year to study,
yeah.
just those words.
Very subjective.
So John Locke really came forward with the proposal that the only legitimate governments are those that have the consent of the people. That's where it was coming from.
Mm-hmm.
Or what people? The people that they picked they wanted. So they had the people had own land.
Right. There were requirements.
All men had equal rights, and the only ones who could vote were men who owned land.
Right.
And over 21.
Mm-hmm.
They did not talk about the inequality that existed with regard to wealth.
Mm.
Well, life, liberty, and property is what they were protecting.
Uh-huh.
And property became a big issue. I'll tell you more about that. I want to go back into what liberty is. Freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you don't get people talking today about what is freedom.
Mm-hmm.
You don't hear free. You hear freedom this and freedom that and freedom riders. And you don't know what freedom is. If you go back, you start getting into anarchy. Freedom from what? From law. Well, without law, freedom is meaningless because freedom is anarchy.
Mm-hmm.
So it means that you can run around and do anything you want, and might makes right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can't protect wealth if might makes right. The rich come in and steal from the poor. The powerful steal from the rich. And you have craziness.
Mm-hmm.
You have
chaos, yeah.
Nations in the national, international relations, you have anarchy, where then you can invade a country and take their money and their people and steal and rape. It's okay. Mm. And then the other countries have to get together to stop you. That is freedom and anarchy. That's a good example. Mm-hmm. But when you deal with individuals, you cannot have freedom without responsibility. Mm. And you never heard me talk like this. Mm. I'm getting into philosophy, and it's pretty deep stuff. And people get angry and annoyed that you're straining their minds to have to think. They don't want to think. They want to be entertained, not think. I should sing and tap dance. And they would like that. If I tap dance with a cane and a straw hat, it would be better than trying to tell people about freedom and responsibility. That's the modifier. So that your laws all have to express freedom and equality and fairness and mm-hmm. equal treatment. But who enforces that? Mm-hmm. You have to have law. Mm-hmm. So now these responsibilities that you have to come voluntarily, people have to submit to them. Yeah. Well, they don't want to. So they say, make America great again. We want to go out and kill the Indians. You know, we did a great job there. We'll go back and do that. Mm-hmm. They want freedom. You can't have freedom to have weapons, especially automatic weapons, which I know about. Yeah. Especially killer weapons that are designed for murdering people on a battlefield.
They're legal.
You don't want people shooting up children with those kind of weapons. You can't recognize their bodies. They're dum-dums. You know what the ammunition is like? They don't talk to you about the ammunition and what it does to the human body. Rips huge holes, destroys, cuts out big clumps of flesh, bone. That's terrible. You can't even see the remains of these people. They don't tell you on TV. It's so upsetting. They don't tell you about it. But that comes, you got to have regulation. Hmm. So you can't have people running around shooting one another.
Yeah.
And the former president said he could go out on Fifth Avenue and shoot somebody and get away with it. And he probably could.
Yeah.
That's terrible. That's an indictment. Hmm. So when we talk about inalienable rights. Those are words. They're wonderful words. There's natural rights and legal rights. The natural rights I talked to you about the rights under God. Hmm. And the legal rights are the rights under the law. Mm-hmm. So we have to be able to create laws and self-regulate ourselves, self-govern ourselves. That means police and fire, and organized government. Mm-hmm. And that's how we get organized governments, the United States of America, the oldest functioning democracy in the world, and we're very young.
Yeah.
And we are at risk. Mm. So I hope that helps you a little bit. There are a whole bunch more things I want to talk to you about. So who are the people that we should be studying? I'm going to give you a list. Go home, write down the list. Everybody that's listening, write down the list and start reading.
Yeah.
Okay, read. There are three people that I found that Jefferson read. Hmm. How do I know what Jefferson reads? Well, I was calling Mrs. Jefferson, and I spoke to Dolly Madison a little bit about it. So he read John Locke, he read Bacon, and he read Hobbes. Hmm. So if you look at them, And you add in Rousseau, Hume, Hegel, Kant, Voltaire, and Newton, I think I gave you a hell of a reading list.
Oh, yeah.
You try that for a few years. That's good for a PhD. Hmm. And when you're done reading that, go back and tell Justice Alito that his thinking needs to be updated and revised, mm-hmm. and that his reading of the Constitution has to be interpreted based on the thinking of these philosophers who influenced the creators of the Declaration of Independence, who reflected their philosophies in the Declaration itself and in the Constitution. Mm-hmm. And maybe that would give him a little bit of an insight. Mm-hmm. I don't mean to lecture the man because I'm sure he's a well-meaning, refined gentleman. But he also said that he wants to bring religion back into the government. Mm. This is what's scaring the crap out of me.
Oh, no.
He as these people believe, and there's a book of them, including the Chief Justice on the Supreme Court, that religion has been discriminated against, and that there's such a thing as freedom of religion means that religion can enter into your everyday life.
And that's the opposite.
To be free. Just the opposite of what I see it as and you see.
Yeah.
And we believe in separation of church and state.
Yeah.
They don't. Samuel Alito, I think, has indicated that he does not believe in separation of church and state, and he says it's not in the Constitution. And I looked, and it says that they should not have an established religion. That's what it says.
That's enough.
I think that's enough for me.
Right? Yeah.
But so now
that's
I'm going to talk to you about, I talked to you about the rules of society. Well, we go back to the rule of reciprocity, you know, the law of reciprocity. Do unto others as we would be done to.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes back to Hobbes, maybe, and Rousseau, and the social contracts, man with man. And what are we saying? It's the golden rule. I kept telling you about the golden rule. That's my favorite rule. So it's all part of Esther Krasny's little comment, one little comment, and you can express that in terms of a philosophy that could generate a life study from one comment from an elderly lady.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to talk to you about the Church of England for a minute, because you have to understand that all of this emanates from the relationship between church and state. And where does the government come in with the church? Well, it goes back to Egypt, maybe, before that. So in Egypt, the pharaoh said, I'm losing popularity and power, and the priests are stealing it from me because they had a whole bunch of gods that you prayed to, and they would be expert on one god or another, and they would go into temple, and this would be the priest or priestess would run. And he was losing power.
Hmm.
He says, I want to consolidate my power, and I'm going to have one god.
Hmm.
So monotheism did not just come from Jews and the Bible. Monotheism came from Ra, the sun god. And Ra was the god in Egypt. So they had all these temples to Ra, and you see these big sun disks over there. Ra was the main, and then all the other gods were under Ra. So Ra was the main god. The Ra gave the right to govern to the pharaoh. So the rulers ruled with the instruction
of
and
a higher
the grace
power.
And the power of God. You want to fight the king or the ruler, you're fighting God.
Yeah.
Well, that's blasphemy. You die.
Exactly.
You die for that.
Yep.
So how did the rulers control you? Well, it was very convenient.
Yeah.
God was giving them the power to rule.
Who are you? Who are you to question?
Yeah. Well, Henry VIII was the wrong guy to mess with.
Oh, yeah.
Because Henry VIII, I am.
Off with your head, right?
Well, he said, you know, he wanted a male heir.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you a quick on the Church of England. That's another 100-year study.
Mm-hmm.
So he wanted a male heir. And he said to the Pope, and this is the 1530s, he said, I want a divorce. I think it was Anne Boleyn. I want a divorce. And I want you to annul my marriage. Because they didn't give divorces, they did annulments. And they still do. And the Catholic Church still does. He wanted an annulment, and the Pope said, I don't want to give up power. I have power over you, the king, and you have power over the people, and I'm superpower. I don't want to give that up. I think at that time the Pope was residing in Agincourt in France, the papacy. I'm not sure. At any rate, church didn't want to give him that. So Henry VIII said, okay, I'll show you. I'll form my own church. So he formed the Church of England, which is the Anglican Church. And what is the Anglican Church? It's not a consolidated church. It's all these little subsidiaries all over England. And He granted himself power to have a divorce. Hmm. And then he got the divorce and remarried. And, of course, then the church went back. And then after he died, the crown went to one woman who became Catholic again and went back to Catholicism. Then it left her, and she was executed, I think, and it became back into the Church of England. Hmm. And that's how the Church of England broke away from the Catholic Church. Hmm. So now we come around to the whole story.
One guy. Took one guy.
Yeah. We come around to the whole story where the right of the divine right of kings is what I was talking about. Mm-hmm. So the church now runs the government. And so now you want to have separation of church and state. That's the whole basis for the separation, so that the church doesn't run the state.
Mm-hmm. And then you had the pilgrims come over here, fleeing
religious persecution. You had a couple of presidents right now who were Catholic, who really knew how to keep the church away from their political decisions. Kennedy was one. They worried when Kennedy was elected president whether or not we'd have the Pope running the country. Hmm. And Kennedy was bright enough and strong enough to keep the church out of politics. Hmm. And he agreed. He professed separation of church and state. And Biden is the same.
Yeah.
President Biden was pressured by the bishops recently. I think they threatened to, maybe they're doing that to Nancy Pelosi. I think the bishop of San Francisco was refusing to give her communion. Because of one of the things she did or didn't do, I forget what. But this is an ongoing problem. And I think Justice Alito doesn't believe that there should be a separation of church and state, which concerns me very much.
Yeah, I'm concerned too.
So here we are at the end of this discussion, and I told you to remind me, you didn't, about the Krasny family.
Yes, tell me about the Krasny family.
Oh,
yeah.
Up to date. Alvin Krasny died. Mm. And a wonderful guy, great sense of humor. You would go into their dental office and they was all joking and singing and they had so much fun in life. They were exuberant. Mm. And he died. Then his wife Helen died. A week ago, Honey Krasny died at age 95.
Wow.
Buddy Krasny is left. He's 95. And last night we were going to take him to dinner, but he's too feeble to go out. His son said, if he goes out of the house, remind him to take his key. He forgets his key and locks himself out.
Oh, no.
So he didn't show up for dinner last night.
Oh. Have you heard from him? Is he all right?
No, he's not all right. He's senile and he's ill and he just lost his wife and he can't handle it. Oh. And he can't drive anymore. And that's what's coming at me. That's all part of life. So when you stop and you see a lady like Esther Krasny giving her speech and having the brilliance to make a joke out of all men being created equal and seeing the men with their personal parts showing and saying you're not created equal, it's a really, it's not ribald. It's philosophic and beautiful.
It is.
That she could laugh at something like that.
It is.
And she laughed at herself, and she laughed at life. Mm-hmm. And I think laughing is probably one of the most intellectual things we can do.
Yes. Very important.
So there we are.
Can't take things too seriously.
No. Yep. Thank you, Esther Krasny.
Thank you, Esther. That was amazing. Thank you for sharing her story.
I hope you had a little intellectual experience with me, and now you have a reading list. And I would send that same reading list to the Supreme Court.
Oh.
Let them stop a little bit from their professing.
Take a pause.
And coming to conclusions that might be ill-advised. Mm-hmm. And think about their duty as the moral shepherds of our society. They've got a duty not just for their own beliefs and prejudices and priorities,
But for that of the people.
For the whole world, for the whole country, they're setting an example for the world. And philosophically, I think they're making a big mistake. Sorry to speak out like that.
No, thank you, Lewis.
And I don't mean to be rude or offensive, and I don't mean to be insulting, but I do mean to encourage them to reconsider what they're doing.
Yeah, respectfully reconsider. No, thank you so much, Lewis. Really appreciate your insights, and definitely quite a reading list, everyone. So check those books out.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Oh, and don't forget to read my book.
Yes.
Strange Cases and Wild Tales and Miami Memoirs. And part of the reason I do these podcasts is to encourage the sales of the books.
Yes.
And lately I got a wonderful report. We sold 5 books last month.
That's great.
Yeah, I need the money.
And you can you can find it on Amazon, right?
Yes.
That's great. So yeah, check out Lewis's book on Amazon.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening. We are excited to announce that Lewis now has his own blog. Visit lewisrez.com to get insightful commentary to the Miami Memoirs podcasts, along with an analysis of current events, as only Lewis can provide.